This program is intended for a print impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Community News, covering the towns of Southbridge, Charlton, Sturbridge, Brimfield, Dudley, and Wales. This program is sponsored in part by the Lions Clubs of Sturbridge and Brookfield, and thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. In the next hour, we will be bringing you news from the Southbridge Evening News and the Charlton and Sturbridge Villagers. Today, we will be reading from the April 30th and May 1st editions. This is Dave Russell. Our first story, two-alarm fire under investigation. The Charlton Fire Department responded to a two-alarm house fire a week ago Saturday afternoon that left the home temporarily uninhabitable. Charlton Fire was dispatched at approximately 3:49 p.m. on Saturday, April 25th, to a reported house fire at 44 Gale Road. Charlton police officers arrived first and confirmed smoke coming from the rear of the home. Charlton Engine 3 requested a second alarm while en route, bringing in additional crews and equipment from surrounding communities. When firefighters arrived, they observed smoke coming from the back of the home and near the roof. Oxford Fire Chief Ken Sellers arrived on scene with Charlton Engine 3, established command, and directed incoming resources. After checking the entire structure, crews found heavy fire on the exterior portion of the home. The homeowners had attempted to extinguish the fire prior to the fire department's arrival. Firefighters worked from both the front and rear of the house to bring the fire under control. A hose line was advanced to the back of the home, while a second crew entered through the front door and encountered moderate fire spread inside the upper floor. The most significant damage was located on the exterior rear of the structure. Mutual aid was provided due to the area being outside the hydrant district, with tankers provided from Dudley and Oxford, and engines from Southbridge and Auburn. Leicester EMS responded with an ambulance, and Rehab 78 provided support for firefighter rehabilitation. The Sturbridge Fire Department covered the Charlton station during the incident. No civilians or firefighters were injured. The home sustained significant damage and is not safe to occupy at this time. The fire remains under investigation by the Charlton Fire Department and the Massachusetts State Police Fire and Explosion Investigative Unit assigned to the State Fire Marshal's Office. Our next story, local scout and library page unveils Eagle Scout project. From Sturbridge, while space fever is ramping up these days after the groundbreaking Artemis II moon mission, one astrophile has set her sights on the cosmos for far longer. Local scout and Joshua Hyde Public Library page Anna Burns was ready to take on her Eagle Scout project and naturally decided to focus on something skyward. "I've always been fascinated with astronomy and all things space, so it seemed like only second nature for me to make my Eagle project relate to the stars somehow," explained Burns, a Tantasqua High School senior. Eagle Scout projects typically benefit local institutions or the community and focus on project management, often including construction, environmental, or community outreach efforts. But Burns was able to combine her community-minded project with her work at the library. Burns' project is now known as the Joyce E. Sinnott Stargazing Site. It consists of a pedestal to mount the library's telescope or someone's personal telescope, as well as a sign with an interactive planisphere attached for people to use. Along with the sign is some information on the library telescope lending system and what astronomical objects you can see with your naked eye, Burns explained. "I worked closely with Lauren Vivier, Sturbridge's Conservation Commissioner. Eventually, after about 5 months and lots of help from my friends and family, I was able to install it temporarily at the Cedar Lake Recreation Area, where it will stay until it gets moved to the Hines Farm location. Not only did Burns choose a project to help the community share her love of astronomy, she helped honor the memory of longtime library trustee Joyce Sinnott. Sinnott was heavily involved in the library for decades, working as a trustee and ultimately becoming chairperson. She also served on the board of the Friends of the Joshua High Public Library as treasurer. During that time, she was always looking at the latest books on astronomy and suggesting programs to help others enjoy the stars as well. And no one was more excited than her when the library acquired a telescope to loan out. After Sinnott's death in 2024, friends and family made memorial donations to the Friends of the Joshua Hyde Public Library in her honor. Library Director Becky Plimpton was looking for the most effective way to use these funds to best memorialize Sinnott's memory and interests when she heard of Burns' upcoming project. Plimpton gave her $500 from the fund toward her project. Anna took the reins and put Joyce front and center in this project and is helping carry on Joyce's legacy in this town and with our library. Anna's the nicest person I've ever met, admits Plimpton, and I'm not surprised she achieved this goal or that she chose to pursue the highest honor in scouting with this unique and educational project that benefits our community. Since 1912, there have been more than 2 million scouts who have earned the rank of Eagle, explains Chrissy Chamberlain, Burns' former scoutmaster in Troop 163. While this seems like a lot, only about 6% of all eligible scouts achieve the rank of Eagle Scout. Anna is one of 8,000 females who have earned the rank of Eagle Scout since being allowed in the program in 2019. As a founding member of Troop 163, Anna and 8 other scouts were the first to form the troop when females were allowed into the program. She is the 7th to reach the rank of Eagle of the original 8, and the 9th scout overall to reach the rank of Eagle within the troop. It's not an easy task, earning the rank of Eagle Scout, and we are extremely proud of what she has accomplished, Chamberlain adds. Anna is now the youth contingent leader for the next National Order of the Arrow Conference and committee member of the admonition team, which promotes equality and acceptance and works to make the program more inclusive for all scouts. These are the requirements for becoming an Eagle Scout. Today, scouts must complete 6 ranks, Scout, Tenderfoot, Second Class, First Class, Star, and Life. They must earn 21 merit badges, 13 of which are Eagle required, including ones like camping, cooking, first aid, citizenship in the community, and personal finance. The other 7 merit badges are of their choosing from a list of 134 total badges offered. They must be the rank of first class for at least 4 months, holding a leadership position while a first class scout. There is a 6-month minimum time requirement for star and life rank, and they must hold a leadership position while in those ranks as well. Then comes the Eagle Project, a project that must benefit a school, religious institution, or community-based program. It must demonstrate leadership, financial responsibility, organizational skills, and create a lasting impact. Now we have 2 photo stories for you from the Southbridge Evening News. For the first time in the department's history, a shift was staffed this past Saturday by an all-woman team of dedicated, highly trained officers and dispatchers from the Southbridge Police Department. This milestone is more than just a first for us. It's a reflection of the professionalism and commitment they bring to public safety every single day. Their service continues to inspire the next generation who may one day wear our badge or work in our communications center. We are proud to support and celebrate this achievement, and we remain committed to building a department that reflects the community we serve. Please join us in recognizing these outstanding officers and dispatchers for their service and for making history. In the picture appeared Officer Ortiz and Officer Patterson, Detective Martinez, Officer O'Brien, and Officer Bergeron Panaccio. Not available for the picture were dispatchers Lee, Wilson, and Rosario, who were working the communication center and were not available. The other photo story, during the town of Charlton's Earth Day Festival at Town Hall, the Charlton Fire Department hosted a car seat safety event focused on keeping the community's youngest members safe on the road. During the event, certified car seat technicians from the department installed 5 new car seats, provided 3 new car seats free of charge, and checked numerous others to ensure they were properly installed and safe. Thanks to a competitive grant received by the Charlton Fire Department, these vital safety resources were made available to the community. As a result, more children in Charlton are now riding safely and securely in their vehicles. The Charlton Fire Department is proud to support the safety and well-being of local families and appreciates everyone who attended and participated in the event. Next, Southbridge Food Share adds monthly Saturday hours to expand community access. Residents who rely on the Southbridge Food Share now have an additional opportunity each month to receive assistance as the pantry expands its schedule to include one Saturday distribution day. The added weekend hours are intended to make services more accessible for individuals and families who may not be able to visit during the organization's regular weekday schedule. Southbridge Food Share continues to operate on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and we will now also open one Saturday each month at our location, 446 Hamilton Street. Distribution hours remain the same on all service days, running from 10 to 11:15 a.m. Upcoming Saturday dates include May 16th, June 27th, July 25th, August 22nd, and September 26th. No appointments are required to receive food, and visitors are not asked to provide income documentation or legal identification. The pantry serves residents from Southbridge and surrounding communities and operates with support from local partners, including the United Way of South Central Massachusetts. Community donations and volunteer efforts continue to play a key role in sustaining the program's operations. Southbridge Food Share has remained a central resource for area households facing food insecurity, particularly as grocery costs and household expenses continue to affect many families across the region. Organizers encourage residents to share information about the expanded Saturday schedule with neighbors and community members who may benefit from the service. For more information, residents may call 508-765-6583 or visit the Hamilton Street location during operating hours. Now we have news of a unique event, actors sought for Living History Cemetery Tour. As part of Brimfield's 250th celebration of the American Revolution, a Living History Cemetery Tour is being planned for June 13th. The tour includes powerful stories of the men who left home to serve the patriot cause and the families they left behind. Registration details will follow. Organizers are seeking a male actor to portray a notable Brimfield resident whose family sent 14 men to fight for freedom. Narrators who will read short graveside scripts are also needed. Contact Sue DeBruin through the Friends of Historic Brimfield at 413-239-0288 to lend your talents and make history come alive. This is Community News from Southbridge, Sturbridge, and Charlton. It's a weekly production of the Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. Other events in the community, New Bocce League, open to community. This is from Southbridge. Baypath Continuing Education and the Southbridge Italian Club have teamed up to launch an exciting new bocce league on Tuesday nights throughout May and June. Bocce is a game that all can enjoy. No special skills or talents are required. If you can roll a ball, you can play. These two community organizations are thrilled to bring this sport to a wider audience. Baypath Continuing Education and the Southbridge Italian Club are dedicated to offering various events for people to engage, socialize, and have fun. This new league is a perfect fit. Here are the details. It will be held on Tuesdays, May 12th through June 30th, 8 weeks. Teams of 4 to 8 players will be involved. $240 is the cost per team. There's one game per week at either 6 or 7 p.m. Maximum of 8 teams, so don't wait. Only team captains need to register for their team, and a brief informational captain meeting will be held before the season starts. So gather your friends, 18 and older, form a team, and come join us for a fantastic time on the court. Games will be held at the Italian American Club, 20 North Street in Southbridge. To register your team, call Baypath Continuing Education at 508-248-5971, extension 1715. Spots for teams are limited, so don't hesitate. Call today. Also coming up, Charlton Library Friends combine books and blooms. The Friends of Charlton Public Library will hold a book sale on Saturday, May 9th from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. in Dexter Hall, second floor, inside the Charlton Public Library. Current members in good standing are invited to a preview on Friday, May 8th from noon to 4:30 p.m. A call for book donations began on April 22nd and continues through May 8th. Donations of cash, check, and Venmo will be accepted during the sale. Books and Blooms will serve as a lead-up to the Friends Book Sale. This collaborative event involves the Charlton Public Library, the Friends of the Charlton Public Library, and the Charlton Garden Club as they celebrate reading, the changing season, and community. Books and Blooms aims to draw attention to all three organizations, enlightening the public about our missions, purpose, accomplishments, and benefits to the wider community derived through books. Members of the Charlton Garden Club and Friends of Charlton Public Library will create floral arrangements tied in some way to a book. The arrangements will reflect the cover image, theme, a character in the book, or some other aspect of the selection. Book titles range from novels, classics, westerns, nonfiction, poetry, children's books, and others. The floral arrangements will be on display in the main room of the Charlton Public Library on May 6th through the 8th. Those who come to view the displays may enter their name in a drawing to win one of the arrangements at the conclusion of the event. For more information, email charltonfriends@gmail.com. The story from Leicester, Massasoit Art Guild announces Spring Small Works Show at Leicester Public Library. The Massasoit Art Guild will present its Spring Small Works Art and Photography Show now through May 27th at the Leicester Public Library, offering visitors a chance to view a wide range of compact format artwork created by guild members from across the region. The members-only exhibition will feature original pieces limited to a maximum size of 12 by 14 inches measured by outside frame dimensions. Artists may submit up to 2 entries each. Organizers said the smaller format encourages experimentation and accessibility while allowing a broad range of styles and media to be displayed in a shared community setting. The show will be judged as a single category rather than divided by medium. Awards will be presented for first, second, and third place, along with an honorary mention. A People's Choice selection will also be recognized. Ribbon prizes are awarded to winners. The exhibition will remain on display during regular library hours through May 27th. Pickup for submitted artwork is scheduled for Thursday, May 28th, 9:30 to 11 a.m., again in the community room. Guild representatives said the annual Small Works Exhibition provides an opportunity for artists to present new material while also introducing local audiences to the range of talent within the organization. The show is designed to be approachable for both established artists and newer members interested in exhibiting their work publicly. Support for the exhibition is provided in part through a grant from the Spencer Cultural Council, a local agency supported by the Massachusetts Cultural Council. Additional information about show rules and registration is available through the Massasoit Art Guild website. Questions may also be directed to the organization by email at massasoitartguild@gmail.com. More events coming up. Charlton Garden Club meets May 11th. Come and join the Charlton Garden Club for its next monthly meeting. Our Monday, May 11th meeting welcomes all to a free program on hydrangeas. Cheryl Monroe is a certified Massachusetts Master Gardener and an avid gardener who follows the motto, "Pretty It Up," and strives to have beautiful, pest-free gardens on her one-acre plot in central Massachusetts, where she grows close to 100 clematis species and hybrids, dozens upon dozens of ornamental vines, hundreds of perennials, and a large variety of both deciduous and coniferous trees and shrubs. Whether you're a novice or accomplished gardener, the Charlton Garden Club is a great place to meet other gardening enthusiasts, learn about plants and planting, and to share your gardening tips and experiences. This meeting will be held at 6:30 p.m. at the Charlton Public Library. Also save the date, May 16th, for our plant sale on the Common from 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Bring a half cup of soil for a free pH test and your questions for Master Gardeners to answer. For more information about the Charlton Garden Club, please email charltongardenclub@gmail.com. And if you're thinking about your May gardening calendar, here are a few tips. Create a small nursery bed to start plants from seeds or cuttings and to nurse small plants along. Put it in an area that is used often to make checking on plants easy. Plant dahlias for color from mid-season until frost. If daffodils had lots of foliage and few flowers, dig and divide them. Tender tomato and pepper plants can be set out from mid to late May, weather depending, of course. Look for tent caterpillars in wild cherry, apple, and plum trees. Manually remove them or make a hole in their webbing and spray with BT. Once new growth is seen on broad-leaved evergreens, prune out any winter-killed items. Be creative when planting containers for Memorial Day remembrances. Cut back pansies slightly and keep removing spent blooms to encourage flowering. Begin pinching mums and asters for bushier, more compact plants. Sow seeds of biennials like Sweet William, Canterbury Bells, and Wallflowers in nursery beds and transplant seedlings later in the season to their final location. Our next event, Sturbridge America 250 Celebration, invites community to Family Fun Day. The Sturbridge America 250 Celebration Committee invites the community to our Family Fun Day on Saturday, May 16th from noon to 3 p.m. on the Sturbridge Common. This is the first of two community-wide events commemorating America's 250th anniversary. The second, scheduled for June 27th, features a parade followed by activities on the Common. The Family Fun Day kicks off at noon with a patriotic costume parade. Participants can check in starting at noon and will receive a parade number and patriotic goodie bag. The parade begins at 12:15 p.m. Prizes will be given for most historical, most patriotic, and best family and group theme. From 1 to 2 p.m., the Mighty Big Top Circus will perform. This is a small but mighty show with aerial silks, hula hoop acrobatics, and aerial hoop acts. After the show, kids can jump in and try out hula hoop tricks and other circus skills themselves. By watching and joining in, kids can learn more about coordination, rhythm, and sticking with something new. In collaboration with the Joshua Hyde Public Library, this program is supported in part by a grant from the Sturbridge Cultural Council, a local agency which is supported by the Massachusetts Cultural Council, a state agency. Following the circus, there will be a potato sack race and a three-legged race with prizes awarded. Throughout the afternoon, families can enjoy yard games, a selfie station, face painting, a balloon artist, and an inflatable double slide. Girl Scout Troop number 65394 will have a coloring and crafts table with a craft sponsored by the Stephanie LaChapelle Group with Compass. Children can make a patriotic hat with the Daughters of the American Revolution. A DJ will be acting as MC and providing music throughout the afternoon. Free hot dogs, chips, and water will be provided to the first 250 attendees. Food may also be purchased at the attending food trucks. The Sturbridge America 250 Committee thanks Veolia for providing prizes, goodie bags, and the hot dogs, chips, and water. On Saturday, June 27th, the community is invited to participate in and enjoy a parade starting at OSV and ending on the town common, followed by a number of patriotic activities on the common. Anyone who wishes to participate should go to the Sturbridge Recreation Department website, sturbridgema.myrec.com. More information on the parade and activities will be coming soon. Also coming up, Girls on the Run Worcester County will host 5K event May 17th. Girls on the Run Worcester County will host its 5K event Sunday, May 17th at Polar Park in Worcester. This spring season, Girls on the Run Worcester County is supporting more girls than they ever have in a single season, reaching 966 girls throughout Worcester County. Girls on the Run is a physical activity-based, positive youth development program that uses fun running games and dynamic discussions to teach life skills to girls in grades 3 through 8. During the 8 to 10 week program, girls participate in lessons that foster confidence, build peer connections, and encourage community service while they prepare for an end-of-season celebratory 5K event. Participation in the 5K event on May 17th is open to the public, and all proceeds from the event will benefit Girls on the Run, Worcester County. The season's 5K event is expected to bring together approximately 4,000 participants, including program participants, their family, friends, and community members. Registration is $55 or $65 for a day of registration and includes a finisher's medal. This event is not chip-timed, as Girls on the Run volunteer coaches coach their girls to run at their happy pace, and the goal is to cross the finish line. The doors will open at Polar Park at 8:30 a.m. The run will begin at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday, May 17th. Early arrival is suggested. For more information about the event, how to register, and volunteer opportunities, visit www.gotr-worc.org. Another upcoming event, St. Michael Romanian Orthodox Church Benefit Turkey Dinner, coming May 18th. This is from Sturbridge. The Public House Historic Inn and Restaurant will host another of its community dinners on Monday, May 18th, this time benefiting St. Michael Romanian Orthodox Church in Southbridge. These dinners are part of the Public House's ongoing effort to support local organizations. A portion of each ticket sold will go directly to the church. We're grateful to be included in this program, said event organizer Spiro Tomo. It's a simple way for people to come together, enjoy a good meal, and support the church at the same time. Two seatings are available, 4:30 to 6 p.m. and 6:30 to 8 p.m. The buffet menu includes oven-roasted turkey, cornbread sausage stuffing, mashed potatoes, butternut squash, and cranberry sauce. Tickets are $18 for adults and $5 for children ages 4 to 11. All tickets must be purchased in advance, no sales at the door. The deadline is Friday, May 15th. For tickets or information, contact Spiro Tomo at 774-200-8043 or by email at spirotomo, S-P-I-R-O-T-H-O-M-O, at gmail.com. Payment is by cash or check, made payable to the public house. The mission of St. Michael Romanian Orthodox Church is to experience the grace of God and to share it with others. This is Community News from Southbridge, Sturbridge, and Charlton. It's a weekly production of the Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. During this hour, we're reading from the Southbridge Evening News as well as the Charlton and Sturbridge Villagers. We continue to talk about events coming up in the community. Relay for Life returns to Southbridge June 20th. The Relay for Life of Southern Worcester County will hold its 29th relay in Southbridge on Saturday, June 20th at McMahon Field from 9 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. The Relay for Life is the signature fundraiser of the American Cancer Society. 29 years is no small feat. We walk to honor, remember, and celebrate all those we have lost to cancer, those still fighting, and the ones who have beat it. We can't do it without help from the community, and we are thankful to partner with the Duck and Avellino in Sturbridge to hold a fundraiser day on Tuesday, May 19th. Dine in or take out at either of these locations all day on May 19th. 20% of all food sales will be donated to the American Cancer Society. You must present a coupon, which can be obtained from the Relay for Life and presented either in print form or on your phone. Reservations are strongly suggested. Gather up family or friends, eat great food, and help raise funds to fight cancer one plate at a time. Also, Auction Acres to host 7th Annual Pioneer Valley Wine Festival. Brimfield Auction Acres, birthplace of the world-famous Brimfield Antique Shows, will host the 6th Annual Pioneer Valley Wine Festival Saturday and Sunday, June 6th and 7th, from noon to 5 p.m. 2026 marks the 7th year of the Pioneer Valley Wine and Food Festival. This exciting event brings together New England wineries, cideries, distilleries, and meaderies from across the Pioneer Valley, and farmers of many sorts selling their wares. The event was started in 2018 by the collaboration with farm wineries throughout New England and local farmers to create a festival to highlight the magnificent products Massachusetts provides, all in unison and support of Massachusetts Agricultural Department. The festival will feature local vintners and craft brewers ready to spill their secrets, live art demonstrations, sizzling chef panels starring culinary celebs, to be announced soon. Last year, celebrity guests included Bryn Gibson, the youngest Black Jacket finalist from Fox's Hell's Kitchen with Gordon Ramsay. We also have Jared Foreman, the culinary mastermind behind Dead Horse Hill, who brought the heat on Food Network's Beat Bobby Flay. Next, Brimfield to mark 250th anniversary of independence. Save the date on Saturday, June 13th, a community-wide celebration marking the 250th anniversary of our nation's freedom will take place in Brimfield. In recognition of this year's historic milestone, a full day of remembrance and celebration is planned. All are welcome to attend the day's events, which include the following: Revolutionary War-themed cemetery tours, a ceremony at the Town Common Gazebo, a parade, and fun-filled activities activities at the Brimfield Winery. The evening will close out with a spectacular fireworks display. Additional details and updates will be available through the Friends of Historic Brimfield event website, www.fohbrimfield.org. Tax-deductible donations can also be made in support of this celebration through this website, and in gratitude, donors will be recognized in the event program. Donations can also be mailed to Friends of Historic Brimfield, Post Office Box 52, Brimfield, Massachusetts, 01010, with Spirit of Brimfield in the memo. This event is currently being sponsored by the Massachusetts Army National Guard and Classic Hits 97.7 FM. If you or your company are interested in any level of corporate or business sponsorship, please visit the event website, www.fohbrimfield.org. Additional volunteers are needed for both planning and to help with activities during the event. Or if you are interested in putting a float in the parade, contact Friends of Historic Brimfield at 413-239-0288 for more information. Be sure to save the date for this celebration of the founding of our country. More information will follow. Now we have the editorial from this week's Southbridge Evening News. A small platform with a big view of the future. There are some projects that quietly improve a community in ways that will last for years, even decades. The new Joyce E. Sinnott stargazing site in Sturbridge is exactly that kind of effort. At first glance, it may seem like a modest addition to town resources. A telescope pedestal, an informational sign, a planisphere to help residents identify what they see overhead. Yet the true value of the site is much larger than the materials used to build it. It represents curiosity, education, memory, and the belief that even a small town can keep its eyes on the stars. Anna Burns, a senior at Tantasqua Regional High School and a page at Joshua Hyde Public Library, chose astronomy as the focus of her Eagle Scout project because it reflects a personal passion. That alone would have made the effort meaningful. But she also connected her work to something deeper by honoring longtime library trustee Joyce Sinnott, whose enthusiasm for astronomy programs and telescope lending helped shape the library's offerings for years. That decision transformed the student project into a community legacy. Libraries have always been places where exploration begins. Sometimes that exploration happens through books, sometimes through conversation, and sometimes through something as simple as stepping outside after sunset and looking up. By creating a permanent site tied to the library's telescope lending program, Burns helped make that experience easier and more inviting for everyone. Projects like this also remind us what the Eagle Scout rank represents. It's not simply a badge or a title. It's the result of planning, persistence, teamwork, and a commitment to leaving a place better than it was before. Only a small percentage of scouts reach that milestone, and each one does so through a project meant to serve others. What stands out especially in this case is how naturally the effort connects generations. A young scout created something new. A respected community volunteer's legacy was honored. A public library gained another educational resource. And residents of all ages now have an opportunity to engage with science in a direct and memorable way. That matters. At a time when so much of modern life happens indoors and on screens, a stargazing site encourages something different. It invites families to step outside together. It encourages children to ask questions. It reminds adults of the wonder they may have felt the first time they noticed constellations overhead. The placement of the site at Cedar Lake Recreation Area for now, with a future home planned for Hines Farm, also reflects something important about Sturbridge itself. This is a town where conservation land, public spaces, and shared resources still play a central role in everyday life. A telescope platform fits naturally in that tradition. Perhaps most important of all, the project sends a quiet message to other young people in the community. It shows the individual initiative can make a lasting difference. It demonstrates that local history and personal interests can come together in meaningful ways. And it proves that honoring someone's legacy does not require a monument. Sometimes it only takes a thoughtful idea and the determination to see it through. A simple place to look at the night sky may not seem like a major civic investment, but it is exactly the kind of thoughtful addition that strengthens a community's sense of connection, curiosity, and shared purpose, and that is something worth celebrating. There were several letters to the editor in this week's Southbridge Evening News. Most of them addressed the Charlton Town election, which was held last Saturday, and we have omitted those letters. There was one additional letter. I did the Earth Day Arbor Day cleanup in the town of Charlton on Saturday, April 25th. It was so nice to see the flowers and bulbs blooming around town, to see the leaf buds, and to hear the birds and insects active. It was doubly nice to have a resident come up and thank me. Not only did she thank me, but she said to me, "I have an errand to run, and then I'm going to help." And she did. Seeing nice spring activity is a good time to encourage you all to participate in No Mow Day. Dedicate all 31 days of May to helping our fellow earthlings get a good start in life. Remember, we depend on them to pollinate our crops, so let's help them out, too. The butterflies, moths, and insects will thank you. Glance at any catch basins near you and see if they are full. If so, report them to the town of Charlton to have them cleaned so we don't get flooded by stormwater. Please don't worry about the weeds that may grow up. Many folks don't like them because they can spread. Recognize their beneficial uses. Dandelions have many medicinal uses and can be dried and used as a tea. If you use the dandelion after it has bloomed but before it goes to seed, that gray-white seed head that is usually blown or carried by the wind, you will avoid that but provide good nutrition for passing pollinators. Dandelions have a long taproot that can be harvested, chopped, dried, and used as a coffee substitute. Earth Day is every day. So is Arbor Day. Happy Spring, Maureen Doyle of Southbridge. Next we look at some student stories. From Weston, Emma McLaughlin of Charlton presented their research Social Justice Symposium during Regis College's third annual Social Justice Research Symposium on April 16th. McLaughlin is a diagnostic medical sonography major. Co-sponsored by the writing program at the Center for Student Engagement, the symposium features student research panels, poster presentations, art and music displays and performances, and thesis slams from students across the university's undergraduate and graduate programs. More than 200 students participated in the event. From Montclair, New Jersey, a Montclair State University student was recently named to the fall 2025 Dean's List. It was Sophia DiMartino of Holland, a dance major. Next, we look at Casaubon Senior Center as they announce upcoming trips. The Casaubon Senior Center in Southbridge is sponsoring these up-and-coming trips from And Away We Go Travels and Best of Times Travel. For more information, contact Jean Dupuy at jtd1154@yahoo.com or visit the Senior Center to pick up a flyer. A $25 deposit is needed to sign up. On June 20th, the trip is to the Newport Flower Show, visit the Rosecliff Mansion's gardens, and lunch at the Wyndham Newport Hotel. Lunch choices are chicken, scrod, or pasta primavera, $129 a person. Then, on July 19th, it's a day in Maine clam bake, with short stops along the way for shopping and a feast at Foster's New England Clam Bake. A chicken meal and vegetarian meal are also offered. It's $119 a person. And on August 29th, Charles River Cruise. It's a great two-hour cruise with lunch at the Cheesecake Factory and a trip to Quincy Market. The cost, $145 a person. And on September 30th, Turkey Train, a turkey dinner with all the trimmings on the Winnipesaukee Scenic Railroad, $149 a person. There were no meal substitutions. Then on November 29th, Holiday Jamboree at Ivory Town Playhouse. First stop is at the Scotch Plains Tavern for lunch. Your choice of chicken, scrod, or vegetable primavera is offered. The Jamboree plays homage to the Grand Old Opry holiday music. It's $169 a person for a wonderful way to start the holidays. We have one overnight trip to New York City, sponsored by Best of Times Travel, September 3rd and 4th, $899 for double, $1,099 for single accommodation, and $869 for triple or quad. This includes a Broadway show, 9/11 Memorial, and a trip to the Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island. This is Community News from Southbridge, Sturbridge, and Charlton. It's a weekly production of the Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. Our next story, QCC leading the way in apprenticeship degrees. Quinsigamond Community College is developing apprenticeship degrees that combine paid work experience with academic credentials in multiple industries. This includes the first practical nursing apprenticeship degree program in Massachusetts, which launched earlier this year. QCC also offers a medical assistant apprenticeship degree and will expand its offerings this fall to include cybersecurity and early childhood education. Apprenticeship degrees bridge the gap between education and real-world expertise. They empower individuals to build skills with purpose, strengthen local industries, and create a workforce that is prepared, adaptable, and essential to a thriving society. That according to QCC President Dr. Luis Pedraja. QCC offers registered apprenticeship models that similarly follow a learn-and-earn model, but some portions, such as a licensed practical nurse, still require a degree. QCC's apprentice degree programs satisfy this need and provide pathways for both incumbent workers and new hires. Classroom instruction through QCC is followed by implementing skills in the workplace under the supervision of a journey coach, an experienced professional at the apprentice's current employer. For students like Lena Un, who has been a medical assistant with Reliant Medical Group, the LPN apprenticeship degree is a way to learn in her existing work environment and advance to her dream job while continuing to raise three children. Un described healthcare as her calling to give back after witnessing the compassion of nurses and doctors during her mother's long battle with cancer. We all want to become more, but you can't stop working, especially with a family to support, Un said. This is a great program for anyone to be able to continue working and learning. Margaret St. John currently works as a certified nursing assistant for Reliant Medical Group and eagerly accepted the opportunity to join QCC's Medical Assistant Apprenticeship Degree Program when she heard about it through her supervisor. It's life-changing. The fact that this company is willing to invest in its employees means the world to me and makes me feel appreciated and committed. St. John's attitude aligns with current data from the U.S. Department of Labor, indicating that 90% of registered apprenticeship participants retain employment after program completion. The employer, Salmon Health and Retirement, partnered with QCC's apprenticeship degree program to develop its staff and address the need for nurses in Massachusetts. It's a win-win for the company. We're getting vetted staff who we know are great employees, and they are provided continued education in the field. We want our staff to look at this as more than a job, but a career with a lot of opportunity and growth, said Salmon's chief people officer, Scott Laxo, adding, QCC has always been easy to work with and willing to listen to our needs. Another story about a growth opportunity, Camp Invention's fun, action-packed summer STEM program coming to area. Camp Invention, a nationally recognized nonprofit summer enrichment program, is coming to the following locations. In Auburn, Auburn Middle School, the week of July 6th through July 10th, and Uxbridge, Our Lady of the Valley Regional School, the week of June 22nd through June 26th. Regional program sponsors include Johnson Controls Foundation and Overdeck Family Foundation. A program of the National Inventors Hall of Fame, in partnership with the United States Patent and Trademark Office, Camp Invention challenges children in grades K through 6 to tap into their natural curiosity and use their creativity to solve problems. Through hands-on activities, Camp Invention promotes STEM learning, builds confidence, leadership, perseverance, and resourcefulness, and encourages entrepreneurship, all in a fun and engaging environment. Each year, the program features new curricula inspired by some of our nation's most world-changing inventors, the National Inventors Hall of Fame inductees. This year's Spark program encourages children to be confident in their class and explore innovativeness through hands-on activities including Space Morphers, where kids build a DIY rocket and launch an epic mission to transform a new planet's atmosphere, terrain, and ecosystem. After a high-energy rover race to collect samples and data, they grow dazzling crystal trees and hatch a mysterious animal egg in a space lab. They can also make waves. Campers ride the waves of entrepreneurship and invention. Inspired by a surfer's journey, they create prototypes, pitch their innovative products to hook investors, and build a billboard boat to set sail and make waves in the market. They can also do forensics. That's forensics with a U. Kids sharpen their animal detective skills with capybara and a fleet of capybaras. They investigate a trail of footprints, collect bits of fluffy fur, and examine suspicious splatters before forensically analyzing evidence that has a surprising twist. Then there are the infringers. Campers use their invention superpowers to solve challenges in their community and around the world. They miniaturize top-secret innovations, safeguard their designs using cryptography, and protect their intellectual property from infringers. I love that this camp lets my kids step out of their usual roles that they have at home and in school and explore different parts of themselves, said the parent of a 2025 Camp Invention camper. At my camp, my son learns to be more creative. My daughter learns to be more independent. All local Camp Invention programs are facilitated and taught by qualified educators who reside and teach in the community. Camp Invention serves 147,000 students every year and partners with more than 2,600 schools and districts across the nation. For more information or to register, visit invent.org/camp. Now a column which appears regularly in the Southbridge Evening News. It's Lanterns Along Main Street, written by Charles. This week's topic, When the Porch Chairs Come Back. There's a certain day every year when you realize the town has put its chairs back outside. Not folding chairs for a parade or cookout. I mean the ordinary chairs, the ones that live on front porches, at the edge of driveways, beside garage doors, or near the front walk, where the afternoon sun lingers the longest. One week, they're not there. The next week, they're everywhere. You do not see them arrive. They simply reappear, as if they had been waiting all winter for permission. I noticed the first one this year outside a house on a side street I drive through often. A plain wooden chair, nothing special about it, set just far enough away from the front door that someone could sit comfortably and watch the street without feeling like they were blocking the entrance. 2 days later, there were three more on the same block. By the end of the week, it felt as if the whole neighborhood had quietly decided it was time again. Porch chairs change the pace of a town. When people sit outside, they notice things. They see who walks by with a dog that is getting older. They notice which kid is suddenly outgrowing last year's bicycle. They wave to someone who has lived three houses down for 20 years, but whose schedule never quite lined up with theirs until now. You cannot do that from inside. Winter encourages us to keep moving. We arrive home and go straight indoors. We close the door and settle in for the evening. Spring invites us to pause again, not for long stretches necessarily, sometimes just 5 minutes before supper, sometimes just long enough to finish that last cup of coffee, sometimes long enough to watch the sky change color without quite meaning to. Those chairs make that possible. When I was younger, it seemed as though there was always someone sitting outside somewhere along the street. Not every house, but enough that you never felt alone walking past. There was usually someone who would nod, raise a hand, or ask how things were going, even if they didn't expect a long answer. That kind of presence is easy to overlook until it returns. I passed one house the other evening where two chairs had been placed side by side near the front steps. No one was sitting in them at the time, but they faced the road in a way that made it clear they would be used soon. A little farther along, someone had a single chair set near the edge of a driveway where the late sun reached just before disappearing behind the trees. Down the block, another chair rested beside a small table that looked as though it had held a glass of iced tea not long before. None of these things were remarkable on their own. Taken together, they made the street feel open again. A porch chair is a small declaration. It says someone plans to be outside for a while. It says the day has stretched enough to make room for sitting instead of hurrying. It says the neighborhood is not only a place we pass through, but a place we share. I always like the week when the chairs come back. It means the season is turned in a quiet but dependable way, and it means that before long someone will be sitting in them watching the evening settle over the street the same way people here always have. We have a final story to remind you of a fast-approaching event. Southbridge Lions Club announces 15th Annual Al DiPietro Memorial Golf Tournament. The Southbridge Lions Club is preparing to host its 15th Annual Al DiPietro Memorial Golf Tournament on Friday, May 15th at Heritage Country Club in Charlton. It's expected to draw golfers of all skill levels for a day of recreation and fundraising. Registration begins at 7 a.m. with a shotgun start scheduled for 8:30 a.m. The tournament will follow an ABCD scramble format, making it accessible and enjoyable for both experienced golfers and casual participants. The entry fee is $150 per player, including greens fees, golf cart, lunch and refreshments, tournament prizes, and a steak or chicken dinner. Advance registration only. Call Gary Fontaine, 774-230-1412, or Steve Stella at 508-989-1974, or speak to any member of the Southbridge Lions Club. This community news program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you would like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone or iPad. I'm Dave Russell, and I thank you for being a listener of Audio Journal.
Hello once again, Audio Journal listeners. This is Bill Ruggiero with your latest weather forecast for Wednesday, May 6th, 2026. Here's my latest forecast. For today, we have mostly cloudy skies with showers and thunderstorms likely this afternoon. Highs near 66 degrees. For tonight, showers and thunderstorms likely early. Otherwise, rain after midnight. Lows will be near 44 degrees. The outlook for Thursday is calm for rain in the morning, otherwise becoming mostly sunny in the afternoon. Highs on Thursday in the lower 70s. Thursday night, mostly cloudy skies with a chance of a shower late. Lows will be in the mid-50s, and the outlook for Friday is calm for mostly sunny skies. Highs Friday in the mid-60s. We stay that way on Saturday, with showers likely on Saturday, chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. And Saturday night, mostly cloudy skies with showers and thunderstorms likely. Low around 44 degrees, and the outlook for Sunday is calm for mostly sunny skies. Highs on Sunday in the mid-70s. That, folks, is your latest weather forecast for Wednesday, May 6th, 2026. This has been Bill Ruggiero saying have a good and happy day, everybody. And please stay tuned for more programming coming up next on Audio Journal. Take care. Have a wonderful Wednesday, everybody. Bye.